Welcome to the Declaration Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor John Sherrill. For more information about Declaration Church and other resources, visit declaration.org.
Sitting going, well, what about me? Father, I pray this stuff's contagious. Let it be contagious. Holy Spirit, have freedom in this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise and worship. I love that. I don't think you can clap enough, really. We cannot say thank you enough to the Lord. And I'm committed to that thing of, well, I always say it's the 11th commandment. I know the theology people in the room get really uptight when I say that, but thou shalt not bore. I do not want church to be boring. That's my 11th commandment. So I am so glad that you came ready to be energetic and have fun today. I think church should be fun. And speaking of fun, if you're in fifth or sixth grade, you see how I did that back there, guys? If you're in fifth or sixth grade, let me see you. Stand up. Fifth and sixth grade, come on. Don't be shy. I got something just for you if you're in fifth or sixth grade, man. It's just for you. You're going to have a blast. Mr. Joey's back there. Mr. Shane's back there. We want to let you go to DC 5-6. So they're going to walk and there's Joey right there. He can wave if you see him. Just follow him. He's going to take you to DC 5-6. You're going to have a great time this morning. Okay. I've got to find my stuff. So somebody say big week. It's a big week. Can I tell you something? The last 2 weeks, we have been super, even more intentional as a family about some things, just as a family. And we have not seen the level of attack in a long time that we've seen in the last 2 weeks. You know what that tells me? It tells me God's up to something big. So maybe you're like that. Maybe you have felt the same level of attack come against you. God's up to something big. And let me say this too. If you are cruising through life and you're not encountering any sort of resistance for the enemy, I must challenge you. You may be walking the same direction. You think about it. God has got, for such a time as this, we're going to talk about it. For such a time as this, we've been talking about planting life. Man, God has called you. He has chosen you. He has created you for this moment in the arc of his storyline. And he has something so powerful, not only for you, but something that he wants to do in you and through you. Does that make sense? And so don't be discouraged when discouragement tries to come. Don't be discouraged when the enemy begins to attack. I know that sounds counterintuitive. Be encouraged right now because God is doing something. He's up to something and the enemy does not like it. All right? That's for free. That's not in my notes. Okay, so here we go. Week 6, we plant life. I'm really excited. It has been a big week for two reasons. It's going to be an even bigger week this week. I don't know if you've heard about this thing that's happening, but we have an election, seemingly. I don't know. I think it's happening Thursday. Yeah, I've seen even some of the memes. Some people out there are trying to give you false information. If you're voting for one candidate, it says, make sure you vote on Wednesday. I don't think that's, anyway. I don't know where you stand on that. I'm not telling you where to stand on it. I'm just saying it was a funny meme, though. I did feel like I might get kicked out of the church if I actually put it on the screen, so I'm not. But it was funny. But we do have this election. And no matter, here's the thing, man, no matter what side of the aisle you choose to sit on, politically speaking, no matter that tweet or that Facebook post that you were really trying to, man, it was self-control. You had your 140 characters ready to go. You know what I'm saying? You were like, you were ready to go. Here's the thing. No matter what happens on Tuesday, no matter who is elected president, can I tell you something? Jesus is still king. Yes, this is important. I don't want to play it off. It's important. But no matter who is president, Jesus is still king. He just is. And our mission and our message, no matter what, remains unchanged. And that is that we are to be ministers on mission to plant life. Maybe even more so now in the political climate and culture. Because it doesn't matter who gets placed in office. One thing that we all can be assured of as a family, as a church, as the church, is that culture is not getting any better. And it encourages me because for such a time as this, I can see such a radical need for the presence of God to move in the church and for the church to just come awake again. Because I don't know if you think like I do, but I think that for a long time, the church has been kind of a dormant, sleeping giant. And man, the church needs to come awake. And I believe that that's happening. I know it's happening at Declaration. Amen. Come on. So pray and then vote. This is what I'm going to tell you. Here's my political statement of the whole season. I don't know if you've seen. I've been pretty quiet through this whole deal. It's really hard for me, by the way. But pray and then vote. Vote responsibly. Think about the generations to come. When I think about the vote, I think about my boys. So pray responsibly, think about the generation, and that holds true to our verse that God used to name us, that one generation could mend to the next. Hey, man, there's a long game here. We are passing a baton. Think about the generations to come. I'm having to really try to push aside the people and just look at what are those people's platform represent. You don't have to hold your nose. You don't have to be worried about wasting a vote. Go pray and look at those platforms and say, what most honors God here? That's where I need to align. And no one's going to be perfect. I think you've all figured that out. No one's going to be perfect. All right, let me see. Is there anything else I need to say about this? Yes. Let's trust and just walk in faith because there's always a purpose. Nothing is ever wasted. Do you believe that? I mean, somehow God is going to reconcile and redeem all things back to himself for his glory. Romans 8:28, we've got it. It says, for we know that God causes everything to work together for those who are called according to purpose. He's going to work all things together for good, somehow. Sometimes we can't see it. He's going to do that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So we need to vote with the proper perspective. This is not our home. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, 14 through 16. This world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, because of that, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Your praise will ever be on our lips, and I hope that it's going to originate from our heart, right? Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. To his name. Let's go to that next one. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. These are the things that we need to think about. This is not our home, but we are on mission here. We are missional partners with God for the sake of others. Somebody say, for the sake of others. We are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit with the gospel, the good news, and the goal, the mission to reconcile all things back to him for his glory. It's the main way that this mission is accomplished is through the church. Through the church. The church is the hope of the world. We're going to look at it, but Colossians 1:27, we're going to jump ahead and cheat a little. It says this, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of the world is found collectively in the church being the bride of Christ that they were created to be. That is such cool stuff. And we have the best news possible. We have the best news possible for those that have been abandoned, for those that have been abused, for those that are angry, for those that claim atheism or agnosticism. We have the best possible news for those who are in fear and need freedom, those who are hopeless and hurting. Think about it. We have the best and possible news for those that are the least of these, the last of these, and the lost. We have everything to offer, and it's life. And that's why we talk about planting life. We carry the best news imaginable. We carry hope. So this is the second thing that I'm really excited about this week. A declaration. We have big vision. We have big vision. Today's exciting because today is going to be the very first time that we will cast brand new vision since the launch of this church. And we're going to be talking about it over the next few weeks. We're going to continue to talk about it, but today is that day that we want to cast this vision. We're going to look at one way that we as Declaration Church can step out in huge faith as missional partners with God so that we can be about planting life. Planting life. We're talking about kingdom today. And we are about planting life, whether it be with a vote or whether it be with vision. Amen? So as we think about this, I got to open this package. I might need, do we have any kids left in the room at all? Any kids? Come on. If you're a kid, come on down front for a second because I'm going to need your help for a second. Any kids? Come on. Don't be shy. Now's your time. Come on. Mike? Yeah. Come on. All kids, come on. I need your help. Yeah, it's totally okay. I promise you have permission. I'm going to pass out some stuff here. Here, take one of these. And what I need you to do is I need you, I can get this. Here, take that. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't eat it. Would not be good.
Hate it.
Take that. No, don't eat that. But what I want you to do is, here, come grab one of those. Any other kids? Anybody? Come on. I need some more help. Teenagers count. Come on. And I'll even take a few adults. Jake Koppelman, come on. Jake, I said kids. Come on, Jake. I'm just playing. Come on, Caleb. Take one of these. Take one of those and hold it. And I'm going to need you to show it to people. It's like show and tell today. There you go, Morgan. Come on. Where's Brooke at? Is she in here or is she back there serving? Okay. Anybody else? What did you get? No, get that thing right there. There you go. Is that a seed? Get that seed. That's good. Come on. All right. Here, you can get one too, Azzy. All right, I'm going to need y'all to do this. Okay, y'all go spread out. And when the time comes, you'll know. Did y'all get one? Did you get one? Okay, y'all can go sit back down. I'm going to need you to show those. It's like show and tell, all right? Show and tell. Go ahead. You're good. Everybody get one? Yeah. It's show and tell today. That's what we're going to do. A little bit of show and tell. I just made a huge mess up here. It's a huge mess. All right, so we're going to, this right here, seed. Do you see that? Can you barely see that? We're talking about planting life. Originally, this whole series was going to be called Seeds, but I was told that it was not hip enough. I don't know. I thought that was good. Planting life begins with sowing seeds. So if you've got one of those seeds, just kind of pass it around in your section there and show everybody. Let them hold it. Let them see it. Let them look at it. Examine that seed. And I want you to listen to this. Based on who we belong to, who our Father is, based on what we have in Him and who we are in Him, our identity, we have been talking about for the last 5 weeks, planting life, sowing seeds. We've been talking about it in reference to our lives, in reference to our family, in reference to marriage, and now in reference to other families for the sake of others. I believe that we can learn a lot from this little, simple seed. Yeah, you're good. Just show it around. Just pass it around. Did you know that each and every seed created by God actually contains a tiny plant inside of it in embryonic form? Did you know that? In fact, this embryonic plant in each seed is quite well formed with the very first leaves. Those things are called, let me see if I can do it, cotyledons. Anybody that knows plants, did I just completely hammer that? Cotyledons. Little tiny leaves and a little tiny root is clearly visible at a microscopic level. So if you were to take this seed and put it underneath a powerful enough microscope, you could see a little tiny root system and little tiny leaves already formed inside of that. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And though this little embryonic plant is very much alive, prior to seed germination, the embryo is in a dormant resting state, almost like a hibernation. The embryo is surrounded with food that it will use during its first few days of growth. So essentially, the seed is a life support system for a tiny baby plant. And I find this absolutely fascinating. And it's very much a parallel to our lives, to who we are. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. His Spirit is inside of us. We are very much alive, but many of us have found ourselves dormant at one time or another. But today is our day. God has placed His seed, His Spirit inside of you. So let's pray this morning that we would wake up, that His church would awaken, that God would fan the flame into a raging fire for His glory in every heart. Can we pray real quick as we jump in? Father, just speak to us this morning. Speak to us. We need to hear from You. And we pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen. So we pick up this morning back in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I want you to hear that Paul began this letter to the church at Colossae so to encourage and to edify those faithful that are there. He explains that he's been praying for them and that he has a deep gratitude for the faith that he continues to hear about, that they're living, that they're living out. They're living out this faith. He is praying for their love for Jesus. He's thankful for their love for Jesus. He's praying continually, and he's thankful for those people that also Jesus loves that are in their care. So that's kind of the opening beginning of the letter here. And I want you to know this. These followers, these faithful followers, they're doing it right. They love Jesus. and they are living for the sake of others. It's evident in verse 4 where he says that we have heard of your faith and your love for God's people. It just kind of led me to a question as I was reading and studying. It is the question that continually has been brewing in my heart really through this whole thing, but maybe it's in a simpler way. Do we have a love for God's people? First of all, that could be part one. Do we have a love for God's people? And what is it driven by? Is it driven by our love for God? Does our love for God drive us to a love for the people of God? I want you to hear this. Planting life in others will always be driven from life that's been planted within us. I've said that in many different ways through the last few weeks. But it's got to be inside of you. It's important to know God before you can make God known. Now, God can use anything. He can use any situation, any circumstance. He can even use the most craziest of situation to make himself known. But to really be about intentionally planting life, you can't plant something that you don't possess. Remember, we've been saying that. Planting life in others will always be driven from life that's been planted in you. Paul goes on to say in verse 6, "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, and it's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. It had to happen in you before it could happen through you." Church, listen. If we're going to be about planting life for the sake of others, life has got to be honest in us first. It's got to be honest in us first before it can happen through us. Man, if you want to know joy, pray for joy and find people to surround yourself with that are joyful. It's contagious. Found people, find people. Freed people, free people. But also, hurt people, hurt people. Good news, heal people, heal people. It's got to happen in you before it can happen through you. And that's what this is saying in verse 6. Man, it's going out all over the world. These people are doing their job. They're doing it right. It's going all over the world. And fruit is just coming alive. It's everywhere. It's electric. Lives are being changed. So if we're going to be about planting life for the sake of others, it's got to happen in us first. It's got to happen in us first. Paul goes on to continue to encourage this church and to proclaim the greatness and supremacy of Christ. And we pick up this morning considering planting life for the sake of others in his kingdom around verse 24. I'm going to read 24 through 29, and then we'll break down a few things, all right? So let me just read this. We're coming out of New Living this morning. He goes on, Colossians 1, 24 through 29. Let me say this. If you need a Bible, we have some free ones in the back. Please grab that and take it home, okay? "I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. That's why Paul says, I work and I struggle so hard, depending on Christ's power, his mighty power that works within me. So let's just break it down. Let's start back at 24 and look at what it says. He says, I am glad. Okay, just these first few words. I am glad when I suffer for you. That made me pause. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. Do you see what he's saying? I have joy in this. I am okay. It is well with my soul to sacrifice and to suffer on your behalf because I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body. What I'm doing is bigger than about me. I am okay with suffering and sacrificing because I am aligning myself with that of Christ Jesus. I am a co-laborer. I am a missional partner with Jesus on your behalf for the sake of others. This is what Paul is saying. Man, that convicted me. That convicted me. Are we willing to sacrifice and suffer for the sake of others? Are we willing to move out of that complacent, comfortable place of just doing life by the iCow. Saying I'm going to be intentional to plant life for the sake of others. Are we willing to sacrifice and suffer for the church and for the kingdom? Verse 25, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. We are called to this. When Paul is saying this, guess what? That was Paul. That was his day. The baton has been passed down. The baton has been passed to me and to you. And just as Paul himself says, God has given me the responsibility. Guess who has the responsibility now? Guess who has the privilege of carrying this mantle now? Paul says, God has given me this responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming, by declaring this message. Listen, church, we are called to this. Just as Paul was saying that God has given him the responsibility, we have this responsibility. We are created for this. Paul saw this as a privilege. That's why he says, I'm glad when I suffer for you. It was a privilege. It was given. It wasn't told. Paul volunteered. He wasn't voluntold. How many of you like feel voluntold? Christy just voluntold Kyle. Actually, she voluntold on Kyle. Just kidding. But seriously, I mean, there's a difference. Paul was glad. He was joyful. To say, man, for the sake of others and for the sake of kingdom, if it calls for my sacrifice and suffering, yay, God. Yay, God. He saw it as a privilege. He also saw it as stewardship. He realized what was at stake. The church. The church. Not just Declaration or Renewal City or Wake or these that we pray so diligently for. The church. Universal. The bride of Christ. It was a matter of privilege and a matter of stewardship. And like Paul, this is what we've been created for. The baton has been passed down. We were made for this. We were chosen and called to this for such a time as this. To be about declaring his mighty acts. To be about declaring the fullness of his message. The good news of the gospel that is mighty to save. Verse 26, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. And I love two words in verse 26. It says, but now. But now. If you've been asleep, but now. If you've been dormant, almost you feel dead, but now. Now is a time. Can you see it? We have this privilege for such a time as this, that we are called by God himself to not only be a partaker of this message, but to be a proclaimer of his message. I got to say that again. I don't know if you heard me. We are called by God to not only be a partaker of this message, but to be a proclaimer of his message. We have stake in this. It's good stuff. He goes on to remind the church of their purpose. 27, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. This is a secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. This is for you. It's all you need. This will have lasting eternal impact on you, your family, and generations to come. Here's my question. How could we not share this news? How could we not be compelled as we go? I love those three words. As we go, just doing life, how could we not share this news? It's life-giving. It's life-changing. How could we not give this away to everyone and anyone that we can get to listen to us? God so loves the entirety of his creation that his heart's desire is that they would know that his eternal and abundant life is for them. It's for them. The riches and the glory of Christ is for everyone to enjoy. I love Psalm 16. It says, the fullness of joy is found in him. All of the pleasures are found in him. Do you want assurance? Do you need assurance? Remember, Christ lives in you. This is the hope of glory. Paul goes on to say in 28, so because of all this, we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Listen to what it's saying. Don't waste your life. Don't waste any time. This news is so good. Don't hold back. Paul gives marching orders here. He says, go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Issue the warnings. You know, I've said this before. Listen. Apart from Jesus, all of these people that God has put in the sphere of our reach, apart from Jesus, this life is the only heaven people will ever know. But when they come to Jesus and submit and surrender their lives to him, this life that we live is the only hell they'll ever know. Come on, there's too much at stake. Who do you know that needs to know life? Freedom, purpose. Who do you know? Who do you know? We have this mandate to teach and to disciple people. This is why the mission of Declaration Church is threefold: to love God fully first, to declare God's greatness, and to live on mission. We shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony. To declare his greatness. Know him first, love him, declare him, live on mission, be intentional. Our desire at Declaration is to passionately love people in such a way that we show Jesus to be attractive in every way, so to be able to present people to our God, who, because of the seeds we plant, have relationship with him. And that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And who would have thought one little seed, one little moment, can I pray for you? How are you doing? God's got this. It could be simple, just that first front door moment. Paul goes on to say in 29, this is why I work and I struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. We must be willing to do the hard work. We must be willing to struggle and to suffer and to sacrifice. We must be willing to pray and to lean not on our own understanding, but to depend on Christ's mighty power that works in and through us. Out of a love for Jesus and out of gratitude to God, I desperately, desperately, deeply pray that we are willing to do whatever it takes to sow seeds of life for the sake of others, for the sake of others. I want to give you fair warning. We must approach this rightly. We must approach this with clean hands and a pure heart. Anybody ever see that show, Friday Night Lights? Anybody? Man, my wife and I like binged watched that thing. We loved it. Texas Forever Sticks, you know, loved it. And there's one statement that was always saying, you'd probably say it with me, clear eyes, full hearts. Come on, clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose. That's right, man. That's good. Our mission must be driven by right motivation, that we would have clean hands and pure hearts. Guess what? Can't lose. Clean hands, pure hearts, can't lose. That we would be driven with the right motivation. There's something that we must consider as we answer the call of planting life for the sake of others. Years ago, I was at a church that did this book study called 40 Days of Purpose. Anybody heard that? New York Times bestseller, Rick Warren. I've actually spoken on this just a little bit before. Page one, day one of 40 Days of Purpose. The very first sentence of the book, mind-boggling, because it says this: it is not about you, right? It's not about us. It's not about us. Listen, it's not about us. It's about him, and then it's about all them. It's not about us. Everything that we do, our vision, our values, our mission, our message, our methodology, all of it, it's all about him, and it's also about all of them. Everything we do, we are called to plant life in people. Why? Because Jesus was about planting life in people. And I said it a couple weeks ago, if we're not reaching the type of people that Jesus reached, if we're not attracting the type of people that Jesus attracted, we're probably not preaching the type of message that Jesus preached. And it's not going to be easy, and it's going to look messy, and I'm okay with that. I will stand against a religious spirit every day if it meant that someone that was least, last, and lost would step into the kingdom. It's all about him, and it's also about them. It's not about the kingdom that we try and to create. It's about the kingdom that we were created for. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. It's not about the kingdom we try and create. It's about the kingdom that we were created for. This is why I want to remind you, even in the political landscape and the potential historical value of how this vote lands this week, do not allow yourself to be consumed by the weight of this culture. This world is not your home. I know the election is important, but politics cannot take priority over the privilege of partnering with Jesus in planting life. It just can't. That's good. Come on, somebody, keep that up. That's good. I need that every now and then. I'm like, I'm like trying to figure it out sometimes. Thank you. As we, as the church, man, we got to do better in prioritizing the protection of his name and his reputation, as well as the reputation of his bride, the church. Gosh, by the looks of social media, we haven't done so well. We got brother against brother. We got to keep some things in mind. First, the world's not our home. Our call is to be in this world and of this world. We are called to be catalysts of Jesus Christ, bringing light into the darkness and telling and discipling and warning. It's not about the kingdom we're trying to create. It's about the kingdom that we were created for. And in his kingdom, we have a place, we have a role, we have a response that should be out of gratitude and out of joy and out of love. We have a responsibility as the church, his church, as Declaration Church. We have the responsibility. The baton has been passed. It's not about us. It's about him and all of them. Those that need to hear, those that need to know Jesus, those that need to know freedom, those that need to discover their purpose. Everyone has a God-given redemptive purpose. And God has created us all to make an eternal lasting impact. That'll have impact long after you and I are gone for generations to come. When we were planting this church, I would speak to people and I would say, this is not about me. It's not about you. It supersedes anything that we will ever do. This is about having eternal impact on generations to come. Because that's what the church has done and that's what the church will do. It's about legacy. Long after you and I are gone, God remains. Because of Jesus, our lives have been changed and we have been ushered into his kingdom as one who has an inheritance. Get this, listen, our Father is God the Father. He's a good Father. He has given us an inheritance. We are part of his kingdom. We are his bride. We are the church. And as part of his church, we have signed on to be missional partners with God, co-laborers to carry his glory in such a way that it changes other people's lives. That it changes the fabric of the family, that it changes culture. And it might be small, but small does not mean insignificant. Can I say that? It might just have impact right here, but can I tell you this? That is enough. It might just be one family, but can I, listen, that is enough. Every dollar raised to plant church, every dollar given out of a cheerful heart, if it's one salvation, it's enough. It's got to be enough. It's got to be enough. Pastor Willie George at Church on the Move in Oklahoma. Anybody ever heard of Church on the Move in Oklahoma? It's pretty cool stuff, man. He, in a sermon, he said this. It's one of their core values now. He says this. He says, we church, not me church. That's good. That's good. We church, not me church. I like that. We church, not me. It's not about us. Today, listen, I want to ask you, because of the politics season, I just felt it was appropriate. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do as the church. Come on, somebody. I mean, what does this mean for me and you individually? What does it mean for us corporately as the church? I want to challenge you to go on a journey together. What a privilege we have. I want to remind you what's at stake. There are 65,000 existing homes right now between I-45 and I-59. 65,000 families right now. That's a lot of families, and there's not a lot of churches. I'm not inviting people to be a part of the club. I'm inviting people to be in the kingdom. Amen. Come on, somebody. 65,000. In those homes, there's a lot of hurting hearts. There's a lot of fracture and a lot of fragility. Some in our homes, some of us. And we need each other. And we need Jesus. And man, to be a life-giving church that is so inviting and encouraging for people to just maybe put one step in front of the other. One small step. Yet significant. 65,000. Halloween night. Halloween. Yeah. Sorry, that was my ADD. Had to have a little breather. It was a little heavy. Halloween, we went out to Pastor JD's house and Allison's, and he'd been telling me about their neighborhood. And I'd kind of seen it out there. I'd driven down, you know, you just kind of drive the parkway, and all of a sudden, oh, lo and behold, look, there's Kingwood 2 minutes away. Who knew? But we're down there, and it's the first time I'd actually really seen their neighborhood that he has seen. And I love that God has already given JD and Allison kingdom eyes for their neighborhood. And we go in Halloween, and I'm telling you, there's so many houses, man. I mean, just so many houses. And it's like everywhere else, but for whatever reason, man, this just kind of resonated because I don't think there was one family inside their house in that whole neighborhood. And that was a big neighborhood. I mean, there were so many people just outside wandering around, talking, laughing. It was like a big block party. It was a neighborhood party. It was huge. People everywhere. And man, my heart began to beat fast as I began to look at all these people and see these people and just wonder what goes on behind your closed doors. What level of hurting is there? What healing needs to happen? How's it going? Homes just like those. What can we do? What is God saying? Well, I know a few things that are just simple, tangible. God is saying to go. He's saying go. God is saying plant life. God, my man agrees, dude. He's like, yeah, amen. That's what, by the way, I can translate baby. I don't know if you know that. He's saying amen. That's what he's saying, right? He's saying to go. And he's saying to plant life. And he's saying to multiply. Step into the journey. Small, tangible declaration context. Go to next step. Be a part of next steps. Learn how you can take the next step in this community of missional partners here at Declaration. That's one small growing step. Okay, here's the next one. Growing people change. Growing people change. One of the best places you can do that is in the context of life groups. We don't talk about it enough. Man, if you really want to connect, feel protected, and grow together, get into a life group. We've got a few more weeks. It's not too late. And then we'll re-kick it off in January. It's a great thing for you to do, I promise. We want it for you. You'll love it. Save people serve. That's another one that I want you to hear. Saved people serve. Get through that next steps thing and get on the dream team. That thing that makes you passionate, that thing that makes you come alive. Chances are, because not one person can do everything, but everybody can do something, chances are we need you. Because what it is that you're carrying and what it is that you're going to bring to the church here is going to help advance the kingdom and accomplish the vision and mission God has given us. Get on that dream team. I want to challenge us today, church. Be about the seed. It might be small, but it is not insignificant. Be about planting life. People matter. Who is it that God would have you reach out to? Who is it that God would have you invite to be a part of your life? Who is it that God would have you minister to? Who is it that needs life? You may very well be the answer to someone's deepest prayer for such a time as this. No matter the cost, what seeds are you willing to plant? I've been thinking about this, and I know it's totally not, you're not supposed to do this in church. See this? I'm not. Kind of want to, but see this? This has nothing to do with a crowd, but I want you to hear this. It's another thing that I heard from Willie George at Church on the Move, and it made a lot of sense. An empty seat is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Why? That means that we still have space for someone to sit right here and hear the life-changing message of Jesus. It's a serious matter. Why? Because we have people who it may not seem like the most attractive job, but it's been so life-giving for me. It's probably the one thing that I did not look forward to in church planning, loading into a church, packing up from the church. But I'm going to tell you right now, dude, that's where so much community has happened instantly. It's the quickest on-ramp to getting to know people. These chairs have been set up and prayed over. An empty seat is a serious situation because that chair belongs to somebody. Somebody needs healing. Somebody needs hope. Somebody needs freedom. Somebody needs to just not feel alone. Someone needs to feel seen. An empty seat is a serious matter. And you know what? We could just do what, you know, corporate capital America does and try to do all this great marketing, and I could try to be the most incredible dynamic personality and maybe build a church on personality and marketing, but that's not what we want to build a church on. The church is built on Jesus and Jesus alone, and the church is built on the Spirit of God, not sermons and songs, and we want to invite the Spirit of Jesus to just sit in this chair right here waiting for the invitation to be accepted. An empty seat is a serious matter. Are you ready to see renewal in people? Are you ready to be a part of the salvation story of somebody? Are you ready to be a part of a radical Jesus revival? I'm going to ask you, plant, invest. Invest your life. Not just your time, not just your talent, not just your treasures. The way you talk, your life, everything about who you are. Championing the kingdom and the church. I'm going to end because we're getting close to time for kickoff for some of you. Okay. But I'm excited about an opportunity that I believe we have to plant life. It's, like I said, it's the first time that we've really publicly cast vision since we launched. And I know I've already had a couple of conversations with a few people because people have been like, hey, man, what's next? What are we doing? What's next? What's going to happen? You know? And so we were like, hey, so did you see that land over there? Hey, did you see that? You know, I saw the land. Oh, trust me, I've been looking at the land for a long time. Just saying, we're going to have to march around that dude. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but, you know, all these people out here that own that land figured out, oh, this is a hip spot out here now. Cha-ching. But no, here's what I believe. I believe I've got vision, and I believe that you're going to be excited about it. And so let's just do this, because I love to do student ministry. Let's just do a drum roll.
Drum roll.
Okay, that's enough. That's just for me. Feel better about what I'm about to say, because it's big. It involves me, and it involves you. It involves us. In fact, I think it's so big. I believe this vision is, it's God-given. It's so big. It's going to say a lot about the church that we already are, but it's also going to have deep ramifications on the church that we will be in the future. If we believe it all about sowing seeds and planting life, the things that we've been talking about, we know that there is a missional mandate from God to disciple, to go. In order to understand our vision, I think you need to understand where we came from. When we planted, we had a network come along beside us called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. It began with the vision of one pastor to plant churches. He allocated $12,500 times two, 25 grand, went to two guys and said, if I give you $12,500 a month out of our budget, can you plant a church? Of course, both those guys were like, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Free money? Yes. So they took off. They start planting. Within the first month, the generosity of the churches that they began to plant exceeded 12,500. They came back to that one pastor. They said, we don't need your money. Our people took care of it. He said, man, that's awesome. I got a problem. What are we going to do? Because God told me to plant churches with his money, so I can't spend it on anything else. You got to help me find other guys. That was 15 years ago. Today, the Association of Related Churches that invited us to be a part of their network, their vision is 2,000 churches by 2020. We were church number 554. Every year, annually, from that single $25,000 a month vision, this means that $5 to $6 million annually from these churches that have been planted goes to planting other churches, and over $11 million annually from these churches that have been planted from that one vision goes to other areas of mission all around the world. One vision, one step of obedience. It was not about them. It was about him and all of them. And so they came along beside us and they partnered with us and they said, we believe in what God is going to do in Spring, Texas in that area. We see what you see. We want to sow into you $50,000. They were our first donor that said, we're gonna walk with you and plant with you. So in Next Steps, if you've been to Next Steps, you've heard me talk about the financial end of what happened. Within 3 months, God paid for everything that you see, all of these tools that we have to declare him, paid for it. In a climate financially where everybody was losing jobs right and left, God paid for this in 3 months. ARC saw it first. They said, man, we're gonna do this. And you know what that did for me? You want to talk about feeling like, man, there's somebody walking with us. There's somebody praying for us. There's someone that believes in God's mission for Spring, Texas and for these 65,000 families. Here's the thing. When something happens like that in you, it's got to happen through you. And so instead of building a building just for us or starting to even think and talk and even let myself dream really big about that, I've got those dreams. But that's not the way we want to start. I want to start that way. You know the way I want to start? I want to start by doing something that I don't think I've ever heard of a church plant before 1 year old to do. I want to cast vision and make this challenge and make this ask, put this out there. Together, can we be responsible for sowing a seed like that into another church? Can we collectively be responsible to say, on top of our normal giving, our cheerful generosity to make the church work, what would happen if we sacrifice for the sake of others so that we could plant a life-giving church? We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. It could be a year from now. Right now, they could begin their training right now, and we could be praying for them and putting that money aside to say, hey, Ark, wherever it is, count us in. We're ready. We want to come along beside it. Already, your generosity is making impact in planting churches. We've been a part of sowing just a little bit into 40 church plants already. What I'm saying is that we would be responsible for planting a whole church. It wouldn't be a declaration church. It wouldn't be a declaration satellite. It would just be us saying, we see it, and we, for the sake of others, are willing to do it. That's the vision. So I'm asking, would you pray into this with me? Before we turn 1 year old, February 21 of next year, I am begging the Lord to use us to basically fund $50,000 to help a church launch somewhere. I don't know if that resonates in you like it does me, but I'll tell you, I remember our launch day. In fact, we have this slide. This is what they sent out to all of their churches and their partnerships. This slide went to churches all over the globe, and they prayed for us. And then on launch day, guess what was happening? Ark churches everywhere was celebrating the fact that their generosity helped a life-giving church launch in Spring, Texas. For the sake of others, we plant life. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. I want to tell you that. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. Listen, I'm not asking you to commit with this action, but I am asking you to commit to this. Man, if you're ready to go all in, if you see this, if you hear, if it's, man, if it makes your heartbeat fast, I'm not saying, hey, you're committing to a dollar amount. I'm just saying, are you ready to invest your life for the sake of others? Come on. There you go, Tim. Anybody else? Think about it. Pray on it. And here's what I'm going to say. Especially as we contemplate our generosity and our giving, we'll talk more about that later. But we have already set it up. If you feel led to take this step in your giving portal right now, there's a third option. There's giving and support, or tithing, support, and then there's something called We Plant Life. That is where we will allocate for launching this church, okay? We'll remind you. I want to put that out there. And we'll talk more about it. I'll figure out a way to keep you up to date on what God is doing with ARC and everything else. But you know what our number one vision, our number one mission is? All these people here. And God has something so specific for you. I'm going to call the band back up because we're already late. Could someone go tell the kids ministry that I have monumentally gone over time? Thank you, Mark. I'm in trouble. Just on time. Listen, I realize, man, days like this, they are heavy, but they're good. Do you feel encouraged? You can be honest. Do you feel encouraged? I do. I feel encouraged. Do you know why? Because I believe, I see it already. What we tasted just a little bit, what we experienced just a little bit this morning, so many people are going to experience freedom and joy and life and encouragement. As we stand, if you need to go get your children, we completely understand. We hope to see you back next Sunday. Thank you for being here. But as we stand, we're just going to worship just for a few more minutes. And we're going to ask our communion team. Some people call this communion, the Lord's Supper, the table, Eucharist. No matter what tradition you're from, we approach the table with clean hands and pure hearts. Everyone is welcome, but please contemplate. Scripture is very clear. Approach with clean hands and pure hearts. You don't want to eat or drink wrath upon yourself. so it's wildly appropriate that you know Jesus first before you come to the table. And that you recognize that he was whole and we were broken, but he became broken so that we could be whole. He was full and we were empty, but he emptied himself. He spilled his blood to cover our sin and to make it that we could be filled. This morning, as we worship together, as we pray and just step in obedience, maybe God is calling you specifically to something right here, right now. Maybe God is already speaking that number that you would plant forward that's above and beyond your normal giving to plant life in another church. Man, just be obedient to God this morning. Let's stand up. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's come to the table. If you need prayer, we've got prayer partners and pastors in the back that can meet with you and pray. Let's just respond for a few minutes and then we'll go this morning, okay? Man, I love you, church. I love you. I hope you're so encouraged today. God is doing such an incredible work. Amen. Come on, can we clap? Can we just thank him? He's doing a work. Let's respond. Let's sing.
Thanks for listening to the Declaration Church podcast. We pray many blessings over you and your journey as you declare him to the nations. For more podcasts and teachings, visit declaration.org/podcast.